Well, welcome back to Gospel Life, where we are quickly approaching the end of this year's podcast journey into the ever-enticing and always grace-driven call to keep the main thing of the gospel the main thing in our lives. My name is Mark Fodale, and it has been my joy each and every week to walk with you as we together work out our own salvation with fear and trembling, resting on the all-assuring promise that God is now and always at work in us, faithfully willing and powerfully working for His good purpose and pleasure. Now, as we close out this season, I want to use our last two episodes to highlight what I consider to be two absolutely essential foundations for gospel living. And let me tell you, friends, it has been my observation over the years that Christians who humbly and consistently apply these truths have grown and they have flourished, while those who have overlooked or neglected them, sadly, they have struggled. That's why I call them foundations. So much is built on them and flows from them that without them, well, the whole structure of a gospel life is shaky indeed. And so here they are. Today, let's talk about the fact that we love others best by loving Jesus first. And then next week, we'll wrap everything up by talking through how our lives must be filled with what I call joyful sorrow, or to use the title of next week's podcast, Repent and Rejoice. So today, let's press into loving them best by loving Him first. Okay, as we start, let me just state the premise as clearly and succinctly as I can. Listen, the only, and I do really mean only, way that we can love others best is by loving Jesus first. That's right, friends. There are no shortcuts, no end runs, no exceptions, no hall passes on this one. The only way we can truly love each other is if we love Christ first more than we love each other. Now listen, this isn't some catchy phrase that I made up on a recent car ride. This is from the lips of Jesus Himself. Remember when asked in Matthew 22 what the greatest commandment in the law was? Do you remember Jesus' answer? Jesus said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and the first commandment." Boy, let me tell you, Jesus could not have been more clear, could he? The first commandment and the great commandment prioritizes the love for God over everything else and everyone else. In fact, earlier in his ministry, Jesus was even more explicit about this. He said to the crowds in Luke chapter 14, "If anyone comes to me and doesn't hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters," and then he adds, "yes, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple." Wow. Talk about pushing the envelope to make a point. But I tell you, the point is made, isn't it? The commandment to love our neighbor as we love ourselves comes after and is premised upon the commandment to love God with all of our being. In other words, you and I must do the first before we can ever press into the second. Whether it be in marriage or parenting, friendship, romance, or even the most casual connection. Whether it be at church or at home or at school or the workplace or the mission field, in order to love others best, we must love Christ first and foremost. So, you know, the natural question that arises from this is, well, why? I mean, why must we honor and accept this divine ordering of our affections? Why can't we just love others and love God in the same measure and with the same passion? Or Why can't we go after the call to love others and just simply backstop the call to love God for a later time? Well, let me tell you, there are at least two reasons why loving Jesus first enables us to love others best. First, it protects us from idolatry. That's right, idolatry. And let me tell you, friends, God has no patience for idolatry. You know, we all have a tendency to make too much of some people in our lives. We expect them to be the ones who understand us when no one else does, or who care for us when no one else seems to bother, or who'll be there for us when everyone else has just better things to do. But here's the problem. No one can do that for us in the way we want, with the consistency we want, and with the attention to detail that we demand. You know, as the title of one of my favorite books on marriage so clearly states, it's only sinners who say I do. That's right, every person in your life, including the one staring back at you in the mirror in the morning, is a sinner. Plain and simple, hands down, through and through, no argument needed, we all overpromise and underdeliver. We all misread situations. We all say the wrong things and neglect to say the right things. We all fail to read the room all the time as we should. And we all get far too caught up in the troubles and the travails of our own lives. That's right. We may make good friends at times, but we make terrible gods all the time. And to not love God first before we love others makes us prime targets for that age-old sin of idolatry. And friends, idolatry is simply demanding and expecting from others what only God can do and deliver on. Now, I just want to be honest with you. This reality hit me squarely in the face very soon after marriage. You see, I realized in hindsight that I had put far too much hope in my wife, Shannon. Now, to be clear, Shannon is a most wonderful wife, but she, like all of us, is a very terrible God. But I didn't realize that at first or want to admit it. See, I went into marriage with a ring on my finger and idolatry in my heart. I wanted and expected Shannon to be able to read my mood and anticipate my needs and know exactly what to do and say in each and every situation. And if that sounds like a tall and impossible order, it's because it was and is. And I still recall in an early moment of frustration, saying to Shannon, "You don't understand me." To which she gently and graciously replied, "Mark, I love you, but only God really understands you. You need him more than you need me." Wow. Let me tell you, friends, that moment was both shocking and transforming. I needed God. I needed God. He alone completely understood me. He alone knows and anticipates my every thought and word and need. He alone would never leave me or forsake me. And if I go to him first and love him best, oh, then I'm freed to love others well. I won't be so demanding and so self-focused. Rather, I can love others with the overflow of my relationship with Christ rather than making it a cheap and tawdry substitute. Listen, friends, we all know what happens when we put someone else on a pedestal. The only way to go is down. So loving others best by loving Christ first protects us from idolatry. And secondly, it also presses us toward patience. That's right, patience. You see, So we root our primary affection in Christ, as that becomes the field of delight that we graze and feed on before we enter into any other relationship, we begin to see how unbelievably patient our Savior is with us each and every moment of each and every day. That's right, patient, supernaturally, heartwarmingly patient. Listen, I don't know about you, but I have never heard from Jesus a sigh of exasperation. I've never heard him mutter under his breath, "Seriously, Fodale?" I've never seen Jesus roll his eyes at me in frustration or turn his face away in anger. You know what I always hear from Jesus? I mean, you've heard it too, right? "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls." Listen, friends, because Jesus is gentle and lowly with me and with you, then you and me can be gentle and lowly with others as well. We won't expect them to be God to us because, well, they're not. And we won't demand that they fill up our love cup because it's already been filled by Jesus. You see, patience in leads to patience out. Loving Christ first enables and empowers and frees us to love others best. Apostle Paul wrote this to the church in Ephesus: "Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant aroma and a sacrifice to God." The Apostle John penned these words to the early church: "This is love. It's not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." Dear friends, since God has loved us, well, we ought to love one another. You see, friends, there it is. Knowing the love of God for us in Christ inflames our affections for our Savior who gave himself for us. And as we bask in the beauty and glory of that first relationship, we're then sent out as his representatives to love others. You see, keeping the right order really matters. Oh yeah, we love others best when we love Christ first.